you know, we've got the economy. This it's not better. A lot of people are being laid off. People are having their 401k plan matching contributions cut back or cut off. They're laying off school teachers, city and state and local government workers. The only real growth area is the federal government. And a lot of people are taking a look at that, including the Obama administration, talking about a 5% reduction, spending reduction.
On top of all that, people very angry at Washington.
Angry at Washington, and whether it's the teabaggers, it's the heat, it's the climate,
right.
And many politicians. I always find it ironic that politicians who want to stay here go back home, denounce Washington,
right.
So that they get reelected to come back here and be part of it. Some people think this is a conspiracy, if you will, that some conservative think tank is out to get the federal workers, and this is where a lot of this information is coming from. But that's a little hard to believe.
My experience is it's difficult for folks to come together on something that a lot of people agree on. So the idea that there's some force out there just always seems a little bit astronomical.
Clearly, some of these conservative think tanks are supplying material and information to places, but the newspapers that are doing it are all over the scope and all over the thing. USA Today, I think, is one of the that started it, and they're genuinely looking at federal pay compared to the private sector, and you know they're saying, hey, we want the feds to take a hit too, or take a cut, or so it is a very interesting situation. It's not contrived. This is not a media hype. This is really happening.
And even John Barry saying, hold on, we need to come up with some way that we can compare, because compare apples to apples. It's one of the most difficult things about this is making that apples to apples comparison, because as you pointed out before, feds much higher educated than the workforce overall.
They are.
And you have a lot more doctors, scientists, the work that is being asked of them to do is not your average.
The federal government doesn't do retail.
And
there aren't many federal barbershops out there. And it's a different breed of cat. It's a highly professional organization. And some of the comparisons, they've said, well, even taking that into account, the way they read it, the government workers in the same jobs are paid better than people in the private sector in the same jobs. And a lot of that gets into the fringe benefit issue, too. And the going back to the Clinton administration, President Clinton said he wasn't going to implement these comparability pay raises that had been approved by a Democratic Congress and a Republican president, his predecessors. He said he wasn't going to approve any pay raises until they matched up the value of fringe benefits, which may be something that's coming yet. Nearly every president has embraced that since.
One of the other items in the New York Times on Sunday had a whole story about states really looking at their pensions. They can't afford all the promises that they've made.
Yeah.
And we've seen this happening in the private sector where folks have pulled back. We haven't really seen it in the public sector. In fact, even Colorado pulling back on pensions for current retirees. I have to imagine that's going to become of part of the discussion at the federal level.
Yeah, the good thing about working for the federal government, I always tell people, is your employer, even if whether you think they're competent or not, they have a great business plan. And that plan is we print the money, we control the distribution of it, we tax it and bring it back here and hand it out to you. So the government would be the last to go. One of the problems with public employee unions and is that in the private sector, it behooves management not to give workers a raise or to fight them and be stingy with them and be tough on long-range things like pensions. But in the government sector, look at state and local governments, for example, politicians are often more than happy to give tremendous benefits to public employees because they're a voting bloc, and there's no incentive to not give them to them. And a lot of this now is coming home to roost. You know, New York. Many people think that during the Lindsay administration in New York City that the city gave away the store in pensions to police, fire, teachers, and that kind of thing. And it does seem to be coming home to roost in a number of states. California, another example.
Yeah. Well, and part of the pension issue is, hold on, these were promises that were made. And a lot of them coming back, we taxpayers are having to pay for those through the pension benefit guarantee corporation. We're having to pay for those promises, which they're just not fulfilling.
Yeah.
And in fact, even beyond that, that's part of the U.S. Postal Service debate. Postal Service saying, hey, no one else pre-funds their pension. I mean, it seems
they're
to
right.
me,
and
good,
they're right. yeah.
good accounting if you made a promise, you put money aside and you keep that money. You made the promise. You got to pay for
it. My oldest son was born. I went back down to the Washington Post with cigars. It was permitted in those days. And I was passing them out to people. And one older guy, a World War II vet, he said, save those cigars. You're going to need that money. And he explained to me what a child would cost. And in those days, my child's unfunded liability was something like $200,000, you know, for food, clothing, education. And I was making, I think, about $12,000 a year at that point. But I can't afford this kid. He's got to go. Right. Somehow or other, we did it. But when you look at pensions, same thing. They talk about the unfunded liability. And you take you, Chris Storbeck, you know, you're X age, you're going to retire to a certain age, you will be collecting a pension for a certain amount of time. That's an unfunded liability. But it's got to be realistic. And once you do, in the case of give away the store with some of these pensions back in the 60s and 70s, auto companies did the same thing.
All of that is the backdrop. One of the issues you're looking at your turn is if former feds want to come back to government, and there's a tremendous need for people who have the skills that the government is looking for, there are a number of things changing right now.
That was one of the things that was approved last year, make it easier to, they call them reemployed annuitants. And these are people who once worked for the government, retired, and now they want to come back, or the government wants them to come back. John Elliott wrote a guest column today on that very subject, and he said a lot of people want to come back for whatever reason. A lot of people are needed for whatever reason. In the old days, they had the Dual Compensation Act, which meant you could collect your pension, your annuity, but you could only get a part of your salary. So for some people, it wasn't worth it. That's been changed, so now they can collect both. It's been the practice in defense for some years, but it makes returning to work much, much more attractive. The other guest we're going to have tomorrow is Alan Dareby Del Roth, and he's going to be talking about making the most of your Thrift Savings Plan account. Alan does CBS Money Watch, among other things, very highly respected financial planner. And he's been trying for years to get into the TSP as an investor because he said he's the best 401k plan around. Well, the options are good. The G Fund is excellent. The administrative fees are the lowest in the business. And he's going to be talking about maximizing your Thrift Savings Plan account.